The Old Testament scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26, verses 1 through 46. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Leviticus chapter 26, verses 1 through 46. Please pay careful and reverent attention to the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. You shall not make idols for yourselves, neither a carved image nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves, nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it. For I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in a season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last until the time of the vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. You shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. I will give peace in the land, and you will lie down, and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. You will chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword before you. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. For I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you, and confirm my covenant with you. You shall eat the old harvest and clear out the old because of the new. I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you walk upright. But if you do not obey me, and do not observe all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not perform all my commandments, but break my covenant, I also will do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you. And after all this, if you do not obey me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heavens like iron, and your earth like bronze, and your strength shall be spent in vain. For your land shall not yield its produce, nor shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. Then, if you walk contrary to me and are not willing to obey me, I will bring on you 7 times more plagues according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts upon you, which shall rob you of your children, destroy your livestock, and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And if by these things you are not reformed by me, but walk contrary to me, then I also will walk contrary to you, and will punish you yet 7 times for your sins. And I will bring a sword against you that will execute the vengeance of the covenant. When you are gathered together within your cities, I will send pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. When I have cut off your supply of bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall bring back your bread by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. And after all this, if you do not obey me, but walk contrary to me, then I also will walk contrary to you in fury. And I, even I, will chastise you 7 times for your sins. You shall eat the flesh of your sons, and you shall eat the flesh of your daughters. I will destroy your high places, cut down your incense altars, and cast your carcasses on the lifeless forms of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. I will lay your cities waste, and bring your sanctuaries to desolation, and I will not smell the fragrance of your sweet aromas. I will bring the land to desolation, and your enemies who dwell in it shall be astonished at it. I will scatter you among the nations, and draw out a sword after you. Your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then the land shall enjoy its Sabbaths as long as it lies desolate, and you are in your enemy's land. Then the land shall rest and enjoy its Sabbaths. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest, for the time it did not rest on your Sabbaths when you dwelt in it. And as for those of you who are left, I will send faintness into their hearts in the land of their enemies. The sound of a shaken leaf shall cause them to flee. They shall flee as though fleeing from a sword, and they shall flee when no one pursues. They shall stumble over one another as if it were before a sword when no one pursues, and you shall have no power to stand before your enemies. You shall perish among the nations, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And those of you who are left shall waste away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands. Also in their fathers' iniquities, which are with them, they shall waste away. But if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers, which their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me, and that they also have walked contrary to me, and that I also have walked contrary to them and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if their uncircumcised hearts are humbled and they accept their guilt, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob and my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham. I will remember. I will remember the land. The land also shall be left empty by them, and will enjoy its Sabbaths while it lies desolate without them. They will accept their guilt because they despised my judgments and because their soul abhorred my statutes. Yet for all that, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, nor shall I abhor them to utterly destroy them and break my covenant with them. For I am the Lord their God. But for their sake, I will remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt, in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. These are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between himself and the children of Israel on Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. Thus far the reading of God's word. The Bible teaches us that God is a holy God. It teaches us that God is perfect in his holiness. He is eternal and immutable in his holiness. One of the themes of the book of Leviticus especially is this holiness of God. But the scripture also teaches us that because God is a holy God, and because he has determined to make his covenant with us, his people, we also must be holy. And the scripture teaches us that God is going to insist not only on his own holiness, but he is going to demand holiness from his people. And so that means we must obey his commandments. We must obey his laws. We must obey his judgments. And if we fail to do that, we insult God's holiness because he has entered into a covenant relationship with us. And when that happens, when we break his commandments, when we break his laws, not only can we not expect his blessing, but we can actually expect his curse. Because you see, a God is determined to show himself holy. Not only in our sight, but in the sight of the whole world. God is determined to glorify his own holiness, to show himself to be holy. And so God will not allow his people to go astray. He will discipline them when they disobey his commandments, his laws, and his judgments. He will bring them back into a relationship with him so that they learn to be obedient to those commandments, to those laws, and to those judgments. You and I, as God's holy people, are expected to practice holiness in the way that we live our lives. And if we do that, we are living according to the requirements of the covenant that God has made with us, and we can expect his blessing. The people of the Old Testament did not properly respond in obedience to the message that they received here in Leviticus chapter 26. And so they were carried into exile because of their disobedience to God. But ultimately, a God in the new covenant gives us his Holy Spirit. He takes out that heart of stone and replaces it with a heart of flesh. And on that heart of flesh are written the statutes and the judgments and the commands of God so that we might keep them. And by keeping them, we show ourselves to be the holy people of a holy God. And as a result of that, we receive his blessing.
Now time for a pastoral prayer. I'll be praying for the needs of our congregation, and so let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you for the redemption that you have granted us in Jesus Christ, even ransoming us by his blood. And we thank you that not only does that have implications for the last great day of judgment, but even in our lives, moment by moment, right now, we can see the effects of your redeeming grace and the accomplishment of that purchase that you have made for us by the blood of your Son. And Father, we lift up to you the needs, some of the needs of our members. We think of Becky and John and their baby in the womb, Becky's baby in the womb. We pray for that little one, that you would preserve her and grant her strength and health. And when she is born, we pray that by your mercy and grace, she would be strong and healthy and normal. We pray that you would help Becky to receive the prenatal care that's good for her and her baby. And we pray that everything would proceed well through her labor and delivery expected in February. And we pray for her husband John, that you would uphold him in his holding down two jobs. We pray that in your mercy that would prove to be sufficient for their family, and that Becky would not need to go back to work after the baby's born. Provide for them, we pray, and supply every need. We pray that the car trouble that they've experienced recently would be resolved soon. And we ask for your blessing on that family. Father, we pray for Lillian in her pursuit of education, and we thank you that you have put that desire in her heart, and we pray that you would give her success in the classes that she's taking. And in the coming semester, Father, we know, we understand she still has the need of someone to watch her little ones while she's in class, and we pray that you would provide that person. We pray that it would be someone trustworthy and gracious and affordable. And Father, you have all the resources of the universe, and we ask you and beg you to supply the needs of your people and to bless Lillian in this pursuit of education. Father, we thank you that Kendall was able to take his children to the Young People's Conference in Colorado, and we pray that you would be blessing them. Grant that your gospel would go forth among those young people, and that any that you have brought there for the purpose of their conversion, we pray that your Holy Spirit would bring that about in their hearts. And raise up, we pray, a godly generation to serve you in your church. And grant your blessing on those young people and on the congregation in Westminster who is hosting that conference. We pray that it would be a rich blessing and even a watershed in the lives of all those who are present. And bring the Nichols family back safely, we pray, when they travel back this week. Father, we pray for the Barnes family and thank you that you've given them some time off at Andrew's parents' farm, and we pray that you would be blessing them today and grant that they would return safely this week as you would bring them back. Father, we pray for Dina that her long-term medical issues and afflictions would be lifted by you, and all of those things that you intended to teach her and to teach us and to teach her family, we pray that you would accomplish those things in us. But lift your afflicting hand from her, we pray, and grant her strength to serve you in all the ways that she desires. Father, we pray for this congregation, and you know we are small and weak, and we take courage in what Paul said, in saying that when we are weak, then we're strong. Or perhaps that was our Lord Jesus. But we thank you, Father, for that encouragement. We thank you for the encouragement that our Lord Jesus is King and Head of the Church, and that He will build His Church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against her. And so, enable us, we pray, to have the blessing of seeing that playing out before our very eyes, even in this congregation, that you would enable us to be a light for the gospel in this community, and that the banners of our Lord Jesus and the doctrines of grace and the riches of your word would be on display here, and that you would bring to us those that you would be saving. So add to our number and encourage us in fellowship with one another, and encourage us in the promises of your word, that you will accomplish good in all of the hearts of your people and in their lives, materially and especially eternally. So bless us, we pray, and see to every need. There are many needs that have not been made known to anyone but the one who knows them. And so answer these very private prayers about private matters, we pray. And bring glory to yourself as you move the universe and all of the moral beings in that universe ever onward day by day to the culmination of all of that you are doing for us in Jesus Christ when he returns on that last great day. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.